Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
It's a whole new me today because I have a whole new set of teeth.
Look at you.
Look at me. Look at these.
And you're talking okay.
Yeah, yeah, I am. I was expecting to have my S's and my P's and all that messed up today. So I have veneers. Years ago, when I was living in Dallas, we went out before a Texas Rangers opening game, and I was with a whole bunch of my friends down in Texas, and we decided that we were going to go off-roading right before the game. No problem. Driver was super sober, but everybody else in the open-air Jeep was drinking, tailgating beforehand. And I was right in the thick of it. So we're in we're on a dirt road, and we're going through a track, and we're going up, and we're going down in these valleys and up into these mountains. And the drivers even scream at me, "Get your seatbelt on! Get that seatbelt on!" And I'm drunk. "Oh, I need a seatbelt!" And as soon as I said that, he hit a hole, and I went right up into the roll bar with my nose, which came down on my teeth, and I cracked all four of my teeth.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What an idiot.
Every time you tell that story, just I feel like my teeth are going to fall out.
What a total and complete idiot.
Did you still go to the game?
No. Okay. We skipped the game. I got a couple more beers than me. The guys that I was hanging out with at the time were deathly afraid of my wife, and dropped me off at my apartment complex and said, "You're on your own, bud."
Oh, no.
So when Stacy,
Stacy's face like when she saw your bloodied face?
Well, I can't tell you what the face is, but I could say exactly what she said.
Uh-huh.
So I was sitting in our apartment, and I had an old English 800 in my hand.
Wow.
Yeah,
OD.
I was going hard.
Yes, you were.
It's a long day of drinking right there. She opened up the door. I was sitting there watching television. I had a washcloth on my mouth, which was bloodied, and I had the OE 800 in my hand. And she just she just looked at me, and she said, "I didn't sign up for this." And then walked into our bathroom. And then she thought I had gotten into a fight.
Well, you kind of did with a roll bar.
And over the years, they've just worn down. And I would lose a tooth here and lose a tooth there. Remember that? I was at Disney World one year on Burt's Big Adventure. One of my veneers popped out.
Mm.
So I had to spend half a day trying to figure out how to get that in.
There was one popping out on the air, if I remember correctly.
One popped out on the air. I had another time when I was flying back. So ridiculous. Teeth just flying out of my mouth. The owner of the company, the radio company, was on the same flight I was. We were on a business flight, but he was in first class and I was in the back. And we were texting each other. And he said, "Hey, as soon as we get off the plane, let's go and have a beer. I haven't seen you in a while." I'm like, "Yeah, for sure, man." So sometime during that flight, I bit into something and one of my teeth came out. So I was supposed to meet the owner of this company at the time with like a tooth out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
So I get off the plane and I made sure he didn't see me and I ran out of the airport. Whatever happened, I ghosted the owner of the company.
Wow.
Because I was scared he was going to see my mouth like that. Yeah, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got new teeth. How was the propofol?
It's glorious.
Is that what they give you?
I don't know what they give you. I don't think it's propofol, but yeah, they put you out.
Yeah.
I was out for like 3 hours. The hangover on this one was a little tough, though.
Okay.
So I... I give it a 4-star now. Okay. 4-star anesthesia.
Do they have Yelp reviews for that?
I don't think so, but I have to go back in. These are the temporary, so I have to go back in, and then they give me the permanents.
Jeez, what a process. How's that work?
Same type deal. I get to go under again.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they put the permanent ones in. So I'm supposed to, like, test drive these for the week. At the end of the week, I go, yeah, they look good. My speech isn't messed up. Go ahead and order the permanent ones. And they order them, and in a couple of weeks, they put them in, and it's done.
Oh, okay. So that's why I was like, that's... Why wouldn't they just go ahead and... But I guess they have to do that process to make sure they fit and they look right.
Yeah, because the first time that I had these things in, I mean, it was really strange to talk on the air. Like, your T's get messed up, your S's get messed up. And for those of us that do this for a living,
yeah,
that was a really tough couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
It was, you need your S's and your T's.
It was kind of a big deal. But now I am glad to say that I'm here with you guys and we can eat. And at least today, no teeth are flying out of my mouth.
Congratulations,
sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, so what is going on in your life you want to share with The Burt Show? You can always hit us up at theburtshow.com. In this case, did I miss this one on Friday, or is this an original today?
No, this is an original, because we never got to the email on Friday.
Is it right to hide my girlfriend from my family and my friends? Mo has the email.
Dear Burt Show team, fairly new daily listener and bonus BS subscriber here. I feel like I need your help with this, as it has been on my mind for quite some time now. I've been together with my girlfriend for nearly a year now, but I've never really mentioned to anyone except for one or two very close friends where I know they won't bombard me with questions. Here's the thing. I'd love to tell my family and friends about her, but I just don't want to bother with all the questions I'd get from my friends, as they're super nosy when it's about me being with any girl, as I don't really have any friends who are girls. Is it fair to leave them in the dark, or should I be more open about it? My family know she's just a friend of mine, but nothing more. I kindly appreciate any advice you'd have. Best regards and greetings from Germany, Enrico.
How long have they said they've been hanging out?
He said for nearly a year now. But he hasn't mentioned it to anyone except for one or two very close friends.
I don't know that I hate that. Honestly,
I do.
You do? If it's one or two close friends, like if the relationship...
It's been almost a year. Why are you hiding it? Because you don't want to get bombarded with questions? I feel like there's something deeper going on there.
I feel like it's one thing to keep it from your family, because I've had to draw that boundary too, and I know my brother has too, where you're just so sick of people like texting you, being like, how's it going? But to me, what's shady here is that you're not sharing it with your friends, because like, when are you hanging out with this girl just constantly by yourself? Are you never bringing her out with the boys? To me, that's what's weird. But the family thing is one thing. But if you're hiding her from her friends, that would bother me.
It's one thing to not introduce them to family in the first year. It's another thing to not even reveal to your family that that person is your like significant other or girlfriend.
I wonder what the questions are that he's so worried about, because I kind of understand it, like being the introvert that I am. I've not hid having like dating someone from my family, but I've not gone out my way to tell either. Like when it comes up, it comes up kind of thing. But a lot of that is because my friends and family live in different states and they may just not know for a while. But I wonder like what the questions are that he's so afraid of being bombarded with that he would keep this from them, because I would need that to know if this is shady or not.
I can tell you, looking into your future, that eventually when you start telling more people that you guys have been seeing each other for this long, they're going to be offended.
Like, oh, yeah.
How did you not tell me for this long? And then they start questioning your relationship. Like, why would you not tell me? Of course I was going to be cool about it. So that's just in your future.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Like, if I had a friend who came to me and said, yeah, I'm dating a guy, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so excited. Tell me about him. Well, we've been together for a year. Excuse me?
Well, to me, I'm not even confident she's going to make it much longer, because if a guy was hiding me from his friends and family for a year, it would be my assumption that he didn't see a future with me.
Yeah, there would be no way but for me to take that personal. Sorry, not sorry. Like, I know it's a him thing, but if you're hiding me, like, you're actively hiding me, I couldn't help but take that personal.
I'm a little surprised the partner here has not demand. I mean, because it says so much about the relationship, especially if you've been going out with each other that long.
Unless he's told her stories, like he's estranged from his family, or he's not tight with his family. He doesn't really talk to them a lot. I mean, there's ways to maneuver that.
That definitely matters. Like, if you're not as close to your family, or you feel like they've sabotaged your relationships in the past, I think I would understand it. But if you just seem to be pretty normal with your family and you're just not telling people about me, I can see how y'all would feel that way.
Yeah, you got problems ahead of you. I don't know what really the advice is here, except I think you really need to ask yourself, like, why am I not sharing this? And sometimes I'll do this also. Like, I will in my mind say, oh, it's just going to be so exhausting to have to explain this to somebody, so I just don't do it. But that's an excuse.
Yep.
There's something going on there that you're trying to not confront.
Yeah, and if it's really the questions, I think you have to, that's something you can't avoid forever. If you want this girl to be around longer than, the 9 months that you've already been together, I think you have to just recognize that if your family's going to start asking questions, just be prepared to draw a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to do that in the past. They're not super happy about it at first, but I think if your family is willing to work with you, it's something they can get around.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, we have a couple of seconds here, and a huge thank you when it comes to snoring.
Yeah, so my husband is a really bad snorer, and he's been snoring for years. He wasn't always like this. He actually used to be like beanpole thin, and then started dating me, and we both gained a lot of weight. Because, you know, when you're in relationships, you get fat and happy, whatever. But then the snoring started, and it's bad. And it's to the point where, like, I could hear it through a ceiling, through closed doors. Like, sometimes it would sound like it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but like a freight train was in the bedroom.
Do we still have the audio of Chad's snores somewhere back there?
I think you mean Darth Vader.
Okay, that's enough. I can't.
That's
anymore.
Every night?
Those are miles.
I can't anymore. Please turn it off.
It got worse. It would like literally jerk me awake sometimes, because I didn't think someone was breaking in the house, but it was such a loud noise. I'm like, something's wrong. And it was, so I started sleeping in our guest room, because what was happening is I wasn't getting good sleep, because even if I slept through the night, I wasn't in a deep sleep because his snores were waking me up. And that worked for a while, but like, it started to have, I won't say a strain on our relationship, but he started to feel like a roommate, and we were ships passing in the night.
Mm-hmm.
It works for some people, and it worked for my sleep health, but for the marriage, it just felt like it was putting unnecessary distance between us.
Like less intimate, even
yeah.
If you're not talking in the middle of the night, at least you're in the same bed together.
It was weird. I know, you're like, you're asleep, it shouldn't feel that way, but there was something about going to bed next to the person and waking up and they're there versus in your own, like, okay, good night, see you later, you know. And it's not like it caused problems, it just felt the distance. And I wanted it fixed, and I started noticing lately too, like every time I came home, we have two kids, 3.5 and 1, Chad looked like he'd been hit by a ton of bricks in the face. And I'm like, ooh, toddlers were rough today. But it kept happening. And I'm like, you just look like, I don't know how to say this nicely, a zombie. Mm-hmm. When I come home, you look like a zombie. And the kids shouldn't be doing this to you every single morning. And if they are, we need to talk about other arrangements, because you can't continue like this. Like, you are beat down. And I talked about it on air a while ago, and a bunch of listeners reached out and said, he needs a CPAP machine. He needs a sleep study. Here's what happened to me. I was getting headaches and getting sick. Well, I had a bad case of sleep apnea. I did a sleep study, found out I wasn't breathing 20 to 30 times an hour. I got a CPAP machine. It's changed my life. I wasn't breathing 80 times an hour. Like, more than once a minute, this person was waking up. And all these people reached out and were like, as soon as I got a CPAP machine, my life was changed. I slept through the light night. My health issues went away because they were related to the sleep apnea.
I think people underestimate how important sleep is to your health.
Mm-hmm. Uninterrupted sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that quality sleep.
Yeah, that heavy snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea, which can like lead to cardiac arrest, like heart attacks and death. Like, it's some scary stuff. So I forwarded the one that said, where they said they stopped breathing around 80 times an hour, and then they got a CPAP and haven't snored since, and their marriage was stronger than ever. And I was like, you need a sleep study. And he had heard the segment. He's like, I already booked one. And then we got the CPAP machine in like last week. I mean, it was so bad. We went to the beach a couple of weeks ago with friends. He had to go get a hotel room somewhere else because his snoring was so loud.
Wow, really?
He couldn't sleep in the room because it was like two families and we were sharing rooms because our kids are so small. He had to go and he couldn't sleep on the couch because we would have heard it through the doors and he didn't want to disturb anyone. So he left and got a separate hotel room on the second night to sleep that loud. This thing is so quiet. I can't even hear him snore. He is like a different person during the day. It's not like he has like a like energy, like the Energizer Bunny, but he's just like, I don't feel like I could fall asleep at any second. I actually feel normal. I feel well rested, sleeping straight through the night when the kids aren't screaming, but otherwise, and I am too. I can't hear anything. We're back in the same bedroom. I don't have to dread when guests come over because they're taking my bedroom and I have to go sleep with them. It has been absolutely life-changing.
And he's had no problem putting that thing on his face. And like it doesn't bother him, so he still goes right to sleep. Because I envision it being almost like that mask, like those Top Gun pilots.
It is. It's like it goes over your nose and they have different ones. They have like full face ones, all these different ones. He chose the one that goes over your nose and your mouth, and it seals. And it just basically when it notices the pressure is being blocked by your tongue or whatever, it forces oxygen down your throat or down your airways so that you're getting the adequate amount of oxygen. And it's hooked up to an app and it sends the stuff right to his doctor. So he went from waking up 18 times an hour because of snoring to less than once every 2 minutes or something like that. It's been life-changing. So if you're on the fence, I would definitely talk to your doctor about it. It's quiet, too. It is not loud like they used to be.
Does insurance pick up that?
Yeah, it is. We have a monthly payment to pay. So there's still a cost for us, but insurance does cover a lot of it.
Game changer.
Yeah. It really is.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Are Khalees and Bill Murray dating? That is the question the internet has been asking themselves all weekend long. Rumors have been flying in all the gossip sites, mainly because Bill has been seen at some of her shows recently. Also, The Sun reported that they were an item on June 8th, and the rumors have gotten so rampant that people are blowing up her Instagram. They're like, what is going on? Are you two an item?
This is milkshake Khalees, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Somebody said her milkshake must be expired if Bill's the one coming to her yard.
No.
She said it bring all the boys.
One person on her Instagram said, ma'am, would you care to address these Bill Murray allegations? Because damn, what are you doing with all that? And she responded, LOL, no, babe. I wouldn't bother at all. I feel like we could interpret this in a couple of different ways. Maybe she's saying, no, I wouldn't bother with Bill Murray at all. Or maybe she's saying that, no, I don't bother to address these rumors at all. Maybe she just wants to keep her relationship with Bill Murray private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so cryptic.
Yes.
It is.
It makes me lean on the side of, she and Bill Murray are an item.
That's how I read it.
That's how I take it.
That's a strategic response. I wouldn't bother at all. She's not going to address it, but yeah, that milkshake's still good.
Yeah. I mean, since we're talking about her, do you remember years ago when I flew out to LA to audition for a show that ABC was producing and Deion Sanders was supposed to be the host?
I do, yes.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be like a View type like setup or whatever, and Deion Sanders was going to be the host, and it was going to be like female co-host, right? So my agent like got me an interview. And so I fly out to audition for this thing. And it's something I've never done before, right? And I'm like, well, hey, for the story alone. And I wasn't allowed to tell like who was supposed to be hosting the show or anything like that. So I'm in this green room, which, you know, with a bunch of some people who I knew, some people who I didn't. There was
celebrities, you mean? That
yes.
You knew and some you didn't?
Yeah. So as far as from The Bachelor, see, I can't even remember now. It's been so long. But Khalees was one of the people that was in the room, and I got to sit next to her and talk to her. And she is a lovely, lovely person.
That's what I've always heard about her.
I mean, she was so kind and so easy to talk to, just very down to earth. She's very entrepreneurial. Like, you know, she was working on a book and had some other stuff that she was doing. And yeah, I mean, she was just, out of everybody that was there, there was like somebody from HGTV, another person that did stuff for ABC News, somebody from The Bachelorette. And she, hands down, was my favorite. favorite person to talk to.
Which is interesting because the scouting report on Bill Murray has always sort of been mixed. Like every now and then he'll pop into somebody's pictures if they're on the beach, which is fun. But you hear a lot of stories that that guy's kind of caustic and you don't really want to approach him in public.
Opposites attract.
They're balancing each other out. Okay, a couple that's not hiding their relationship status are Naomi Watts and Billy Crudup. They got hitched over the weekend. The two of them had a courthouse wedding in New York City. The bride wore a stunning Oscar de la Renta tea-length gown with flowers from her local deli. I was going to make a comment about how this felt like the anti-bride trend that's going around where brides want to have more like relaxed, like chill weddings. But something about saying anti-bride and Oscar de la Renta like in the same paragraph.
No, it just
does not go together. But this is Naomi's second marriage, so it makes a little bit of sense that the second time around she wanted to do something a little bit more casual, if you will.
I've always been like a huge Billy Crudup fan, and he was, I didn't realize he was one of the main characters in The Morning Show, right? And he plays a really great character. But I saw that picture on her, like her Instagram, and I zoomed in and I'm like, is that who I think that is? And then I was like, do I remember correctly? And I started going back because I lost favor of him when all that stuff with Mary Louise Parker and Claire Danes went down.
I don't recall any of that.
So he was dating Mary Louise Parker and she was pregnant and they were expecting and she was 7 months along when he left her for Claire Danes.
No.
That's bad timing, Kristen. That's real bad timing.
Yeah. I mean, of course, now this was years ago. I mean, this was because Claire was like in her mid-20s, right? But and they were like on a film together and they fell in love on the set and they ended up dating for a few years and then, you know, parted ways and she married somebody else. But yeah, I can't.
Ooh.
There's some things that are like are hard to shake because he was always one of like my crushes, like one of those, like your
get out of jail free card. Hump Island.
I forgot about Hump Island. We need to do that again. It's
bring
been a
back,
minute.
Bring back Hump Island.
And that way Abby can create her Hump Island.
Oh, perfect. Just what I was looking to do. The White Lotus might be getting a prequel series. Coming up on your next eBuzz, I'll tell you what character it would center around on your next eBuzz of The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Let's go ahead and celebrate Pride Month. So in honor of Pride Month, we want to give you guys the opportunity to tell us who you're proud of in the LGBTQ plus community. We call it the Burt Show's Pride Line, and you can call it at 404-954-1360, and you can leave messages for those that you are proud of in the LGBTQ community.
I know. I thought it was a fun way to, you know, show pride for pride. And here are today's nominees.
In honor of Pride Month, The Burt Show wants you to tell everyone who you are proud of in the LGBTQ plus community. Call now, 404-954-1360.
All right, first, Aretha Hutchinson. She's the mom, and she's in Atlanta, and she is proud of Angelica Hutchinson.
Hello, my name is Arletha. I am an ally and mother of Angelica Hutchinson. I am so proud of her. She came out to me when she was 14 and she was so excited and then she realized I already knew. I wanted to just say that she's an amazing daughter. She's 25 years old now. She's a part of Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization. She's about to graduate Georgia State University. And I just wanted to say I am so proud of you for living your dream and being who you are. Love you.
All right, our next caller is Heather Kirby of Sandy Springs, and she is proud of her brother's husband, Elliot Kent of Athens.
Hi, my name is Heather Kirby, and I would like to give a shout out to my brother's husband, Elliot, for everything they have overcome lately. Finding their happiness again by finally living their dream as a queen in Athens. Shout out Lulu. Go see them at Church Bar. Has been nothing but amazing. And it makes me so excited to see where their life is going to take them. I love you so much, Elliot.
We don't care what part of the country you're in. Go ahead, give us a call. You can get the number at theburtshow.com or you can call it directly. 404-954-1360 is The Burt Show's Pride Line. All right, so we were talking about Bill Murray earlier. You just don't know what you're going to get with Bill Murray. Some people say they have approached him and he was so nice, and others, he's just like, get out of here. So the list of celebrity encounters, some of these are really good. Some of these are really bad. Just be forewarned.
BuzzFeed has put a list together. People were sharing their encounters with celebrities and if they were the best encounter or the worst encounter. Now, not to set Mo up, but he batted 1,000. He batted 1,000 on Friday.
That was perfect.
Did not get one of them wrong. I'm going to start with a hard one.
Oh.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, no. Don't say he's the worst.
Is he the worst or is he the best?
I don't want to stereotype, but scientists, for the most part, a little socially awkward. So I'd say shy. I'd say bad.
Worst?
I'm going to go on the worst list.
I've met Bill Nye, and he was so kind and so nice. So I'm going to go best.
Oh, well, there.
Cash just turned me around.
Yeah.
It was a paid gig. So
I ran into him at a coffee shop.
You didn't run into him in the wild.
No, he was paid to be there.
I don't know. I just feel like Bill Nye would be a nice guy. That's what my gut tells me. So I'll go with nice. It was a good encounter.
Okay. Bill Nye, the nice guy. I'm also going nice guy, mainly because it would ruin my childhood if it was anything else.
Okay, we got three nice and a worse.
Uh-huh.
Worse.
They give details?
I met Bill Nye in 2006, and he made some really unnecessarily sexualized comments. I was 18 and in college and felt so uncomfortable. This was before the hashtag MeToo movement, but was one of my most shocking hashtag MeToo moments. I think he was trying to seem cool and relatable to college students, but it was just inappropriate and unprofessional.
Maybe he was saying like something like shake the beaker, and they took it the wrong way.
Shake the beaker.
Of all the things to shake, you're going to shake the beaker.
I just figured socially awkward kind of guy could be interpreted. Okay. That's too bad.
All right, Mo, sorry.
Yeah, at least I got it out the way early.
All right, so not Nick Jonas and not, why am I...
Kevin, Joe?
No, Joe. I was like, normally, like, Kevin was the one, because we're going to do Kevin. I was trying to remember Nick and Joe, and like, because they are, like, notoriously more famous than Kevin, and I couldn't remember Joe's name. So you're welcome, Kevin. All right, so not Nick Jonas, not Joe Jonas. Kevin Jonas, best or worst encounter? Abby?
Oh, if Cotton Candy was a person, it would be Kevin Jonas. So I'm going best.
Okay.
I'll go best.
Worst.
Worst.
Super nice.
Best.
Yeah. All right.
No surprise.
Kevin Jonas often comes into the Starbucks I work at in New Jersey. He's super down to earth, doesn't exude wealth, and is super polite to the staff. All right. Next one we have, let's see, Barbara Streisand.
Diva, man. I'm going to go worst.
I'm going to go worst.
I'll go worst.
I'm going worst because I've heard that she likes to, she's so private that she doesn't like to interact with fans out in the wild.
A sweep for worst. Congratulations to you all.
That was a real tough one. When I was living in Washington, D.C., there was a rumor going around, because she was doing one of those like 4 or 5 night engagements there, that she had all of the furniture taken out of the Four Seasons and brought in her own custom stuff for her stay.
Wow.
For a four-night gig? For a
four-night gig. Wow. All right, so this person says, a good friend of mine was an electrician. He had a job one day at a beautiful home in Malibu. The butler let him in, and he got to work. A little while later, he was surprised to see Barbara Streisand walk into the room. She glanced up at my friend, and not wanting to be rude, he nodded his head slightly and said good morning as he kept working. She didn't acknowledge him at all and just left the room. A few minutes later, the butler very sternly admonished my friend, "Do not speak to Miss Streisand." Apparently, she didn't like that the hired help dared to say good morning to her.
Damn.
My friend just chuckled at the arrogance and finished the job.
Okay, now I hate her. Like, there's a difference between not wanting to be approached while you're doing private stuff in public and then thinking you're better than other people.
Yeah.
No. If you use hired help, you're done.
All right, so there's more, but you want me to keep him in my back pocket and do it again later?
Yeah, let's do that.
The Burt Show.
So on Friday, she was telling you guys that her mom was setting her daughter up with this wealthy dude. They were going on a date over the weekend. I don't think the daughter was super into it, but mom was being really, really aggressive about it.
That's exactly what it was. She feels like her mom is a gold digger, straight up. That's what she said. She said she was home for the summer. It was only a couple hours, and her mom was already trying to hook her up with this guy. And it was because her mom had joined some tennis clubs, and I guess she made friends with a really wealthy family. And so she don't know anything about the guy. She She don't know anything about his personality, but she knew enough to know that she wanted to hook her daughter up with him simply based off the fact that his family is extremely wealthy. And he drives a Maybach, so she was talking about the car he drives. She was interested in pretty much anything other than if her daughter would actually like him or not. And so the daughter was a bit taken aback by it and felt like she needed to put up some boundaries. Or maybe she should just go on a date since mom's already going to set it up for her.
So I'm assuming this is a fairly wealthy family to begin with. If mom's is like bouncing from tennis club to tennis club, did she indicate that at all?
The way she is so... The way she is so overwhelmed by their wealth, I don't think they are. I mean, maybe they're upper middle class, but from the sounds of it, she was so enamored with their wealth. She does not, it doesn't sound like this is coming from a very wealthy family.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just greedy.
Yeah, maybe.
Uh-huh. I know what your first two questions are going to be. Yes, I went on the date. And no, he did not pick me up at his mom's Maybach. We met at the restaurant. All things considered, it was a nice date, but there was zero chemistry, at least for me. He's a sweet guy, but there weren't any sparks. He was polite, took care of the bill, and we parted ways with a hug. I thought that'd be the end of it, but oh no, I'm now being punished because of my mom's meddling. Apparently, he had the best time ever. I swear I wasn't leading him on in any way. I was just trying to be polite. The day after our date, my mom and his mom had a tennis match. He gushed to his mom about what a fantastic time he had. His mom was so excited about us going out again. She said she hadn't been this interested in someone in a while. I texted my mom right after our date and told her how it went. Did she pass that on to his mom? Of course not. She told her I had a wonderful time as well. I was livid with my mom. She tried to use the same excuse that she didn't want to jeopardize her friendship and that if there was nothing wrong with him, I should give him a second chance. Now, he and his mom are expecting me to go out with him again. I absolutely refuse. This is what I get for being a people pleaser. I should have said no from the very beginning. My mom is just going to have to deal with the fallout.
Do you guys think that most moms would say, hey, the love can grow? The love can grow, right? I mean, he's not a bad guy. I understand you're not connected, but think of the security you'll be providing yourself and the family. At least give the guy a couple of months.
It's called an arranged marriage.
I mean, we all want better for our kids, right? This is just her interpretation.
The one thing I've heard about marrying specifically for money, I mean, if you have like respect for them, that's great. But the one thing I've heard about marrying somebody for their cash is that when you do that, you're going to work every single day for the rest of your life. Like, it might not be at an office, but in some way, you're going to be working. The one thing I have a problem with this is I feel like, and I've been in this position many times, is where you are expressing that I just wasn't into the date. And everyone always pushes you. Well, you just never know. Give him a second chance. Abby, give him a shot. And every single time I've done that, it's never been worth the second shot. So I say, girl, you gotta cut the cord.
Yeah, she gotta shut it down. This is kind of how I felt. Like if she was to go on that date in the first place, it was gonna kind of lead to this, because then you gotta kind of keep lying your way out of it every single time. And mom is not gonna let up. So I think if she really doesn't want to date this guy, she just gotta break mom's heart and come clean to her.
I was talking to a therapist friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and we got into gold digging in relationships and if they ever end up, you know, happily ever after. And she said, across the board, everybody ends up miserable. Like, he thinks he's in the relationship just for the money. She feels like plastic also, because she knows that he wouldn't be with her if she didn't look or act a certain way. And while it made sense and was intoxicating at the time, in the long run, they never work out.
You have to love the person, not the money. Like, it's just
kind of old school thing.
Oh, man.
I know. I mean, she's going to, like, yeah. Mom, I'm actually intrigued and excited to see what the fallout's going to be, because kudos to her for sticking to what she wants and like, no, I'm not going to go out with this guy again. I'm not going to give him a second chance. Like, I don't like him. You know, on that first date, if there's that, as Sarah Jessica Parker, as Carrie Bradshaw said, that zazazoo when you go on a date and you just like, your heart is filled and you get the tingles all over. So mom is screwed, and I'm kind of glad.
And you're not stuck. It's your life, man. If your parents want you to go out with it, you are perfectly capable to say, you know what? No.
That's it?
You're not stuck, right?
The Burt Show.
Absolutely fascinating story coming out of Colombia. I'll give you the details in just one second. But before I do, let me ask you this connecting question. If you're in a, let's say you're in a small plane, okay? Maybe there's 10 people in it, right?
Small plane.
And the plane crashes in the middle of a rainforest, in the middle of the mountains, what have you. How long do you think that you could survive by yourself in that case?
This is so creepy because myself, my husband, and my niece were having that exact conversation yesterday.
Is it because of this flight?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how long would you guys last in a situation like that?
So you survive the plane crash, barring you have no, like, critical severe injuries.
You're fairly healthy when you get out of the plane.
I give myself maybe 72 hours.
72, wow.
After 3 days, a Jaguar's got me.
3 days, yeah. Okay. Mo?
That's impressive. I was thinking more like seven.
7 days.
I got about, no, hours.
Hours.
I ain't got too much time in me.
Right? 7 hours.
I won out.
Abby?
Yeah, I start short-circuiting if there's not a Starbucks within like 10 miles. So I'm going to go ahead. You know what? I'm going to say 96 hours. I'm going to go one more day than Kristen.
And I'll go one less hour than Mo. So there was a plane in Colombia. It was a small, one of those small Cessna planes, and it was flying into a major city. It was, and it crashed in the Amazon rainforest. There were 3 adults on it, and there were 4 children. The children were 13, 9, 4, and 11. This happened over 40 days ago.
11 months.
11 months, I'm sorry, yeah. 13, 9, 4, and 11 months. Plane goes down. They finally track down where the plane is. And when rescuers get to it, they find the adults. They had all passed away. But the kids are gone. All 4 kids. The 11-month-old, 4, 9, 13. The search goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Rescuers are out there looking. They bring dogs out there. Also, they started to find like little itty-bitty signs that they were still alive. There was a diaper over here. Maybe some uneaten fruit over there, just like half munched out. And it turns out that they found the kids, all 4 of them, healthy after 40 days over the weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Now, we don't exactly know all the details on how they lived, but all 4 of the kids survived it.
I want to give credit because it's 4 indigenous children. So they obviously have been taught how to interact with nature and were taught survival techniques. Mm-hmm. So to those 4 indigenous children, oh my God, and the 13-year-old who obviously took the burden of taking care of the other kids, that is, I mean, just beyond to be commended.
How many Hollywood producers do you think flew into Colombia over the weekend? You know they're trying to get to the first story, right? All right, so it's not very often that we get an email that we look at and all of our jaws just drop. In this one, it has to do with a Burt Show listener selling a house and a racist neighbor. So we brought Katie in on this also. And let me read this for you guys. Hey, Burt Show, I need some advice. My husband and I are selling our home and 3-acre property in a somewhat rural area. While our neighbors aren't super close, my driveway is shared with my neighbor. Little backstory, my neighbor used to own our house. He sold us the main house years ago and turned the pool house into his home. He owns the property, pasture, behind our house, and his son lives to the left of us. In other words, he owns about 20 acres with the exception of the 3 acres we're on. We're currently under contract. Here's my dilemma. We were outside one day, and my neighbor came over and said he hated to see us go. Then he casually said, I don't care who you have moving in here, but it better not be that word, the N-word, I'm assuming, right? The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I was enraged. We have cameras on our property, so I happen to know the people who are buying our house are black. I want to give them their earnest money back and break the contract. I do not feel good about letting them continue with the purchase knowing how my neighbor feels. My husband seems to think there could be some kind of legal ramification for us if we terminate the contract based on ethnicity. He seems to think this is a prime example of no good deed goes unpunished. So what should I do? It feels so wrong selling my house to people knowing my neighbor referred to them as the N-word. Mo, Katie, if this were you, how would you want this handled? Thanks in advance for any insight. Respectfully, scared to sell. And if you guys got any advice, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. If you're in this field, real estate, law, man, I'd love to get some takes on this. But how do you guys feel about it?
If it were me, I would appreciate the honesty. I mean, the neighbor is racist. There's really not much you can do about that. A racist will be a racist. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't want you to terminate the contract based on this information without giving me this information. So I think the best thing to do in a situation like this is just be forthcoming and tell me and my wife or whomever I'm moving in with what the situation is, what you heard, what you experienced, and then give us an opportunity to make that decision with that information.
Because I feel like you're punishing the black couple who wants to buy the house because your neighbor is racist. It's not fair that you terminate the contract you have with them because your neighbor is racist. Now, giving them that, they need to know like what they're getting themselves into and let them make that decision. But I feel punishing them because your neighbor is a racist a-hole just doesn't seem fair.
Exactly. I think the options should be given.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Let them know, hey, because it's a bad scenario all around. This guy used to own that property in that house. And if he doesn't want them there, he's going to make their like life a living hell. So give them the option instead of just terminating it without telling them all the details.
Kaylee wants in on this. What you got, dude?
Yeah, so I've had my real estate license. I got my broker's license. And I know that the person selling isn't the racist, but you can't not sell to somebody because of their ethnicity and because of their color. He could get sued for that.
But I there's nothing wrong with him going, hey, I just want to let you know, buyer, I found this out. So now the purchase of the home is in your hands. If you want to break contract, I'm totally down.
True. Yeah. I mean, that's how I would go about it.
Yep.
Yeah, because if you make that decision for them, you're taking their autonomy away. Like, they're adults. They're allowed, capable of making decisions themselves. I think the best thing to do and the kindest thing to do would be, like, tell them what's up and say, if you want to break contract, we will give you your earnest money back. And that way they can make the decision. You're still helping them out by refunding them the money. Like, it's a let them do it. They're adults.
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
White Lotus writer Mike White says he'd be down to do a White Lotus prequel. So this is a show that I still haven't gotten around to watching.
It's great. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It really is. It's
Everyone
so
tells
quirky.
Me, like, you got to watch it. Uh-huh.
The storylines are fantastic, but the scenery, too, from the locations of these luxury hotels and all this drama that goes down, it's just stunning.
I wonder what the tourism impact on these places are that they actually do it. Like, I think Sardinia was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it brings in so many tourists.
Oh, yeah, because you see it and you're like, oh, my gosh, that looks like a nice resort. Maybe I'll plan my next vacation to Sardinia, or I think the last season was in Hawaii. And I think they're filming in Australia for the next one, so more reasons to watch. But the one reference that I do get is this viral audio of Jennifer Coolidge's character. I feel like she's a huge fan favorite of the show, so much so that Mike White says he's interested in doing a prequel all about her character. And what I found really fascinating about this is that they said that they wouldn't hire a younger actress to play her in a prequel. They said they would give her the Harrison Ford treatment, where they would make her look 20 years younger, but also because Jennifer Coolidge, she's a joy to work with. They don't want to, like, have to get rid of her.
Oh, she's a fan favorite, and also she's, like, a colleague favorite. Like, everybody has nothing but, like, just said she's hilarious and so much fun to work with.
Based on what her character is like on the show, I would absolutely be drawn to a prequel if it centered on her.
Yeah. Honestly, it seems like this show is so successful, they could totally give it like the Yellowstone treatment, where there's just like 7 different spinoffs and it's like, it's a Yellowstone prequel, but it's just another show. Okay, Lil Wayne says his memory is so bad, he can't remember any of his tracks. So recently he spoke to the Rolling Stone and he said, I'm going to be so honest with you. I don't know any of my albums. You could lie. You could ask me about such and such song and I wouldn't even know what we're talking about. And I'm sure it sounds pretty flippant, like, oh my gosh, how do you not know any of your songs? But actually, Lil Wayne suffers from epilepsy, and he's been hospitalized for at least 2 minor seizures, which, of course, can impact memory. So he says his favorite track is the last one he recorded because it's the only one.
That's funny. Sad, but very funny.
I'm sure all that lean and Bob Marley don't help either.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do you remember, was it Lil Wayne that, like, canceled his show like 2 songs into it? That was like a couple weeks ago. Yep. He got off the stage. Do we think it's because he just couldn't remember any of his song lyrics?
No, I think he was really offended by the crowd and their lack of enthusiasm for his new artist that he wasn't having. Yeah,
that bothered him for some reason.
Okay, Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. She wants people to stop criticizing the work that she's gotten done on her face. So she recently opened up about some of the hurtful comments that people have mentioned about her plastic surgery. She's talked about how reprising this role has been pretty difficult because she's been doing it for a large chunk of her life. And so, of course, the public remembers her as like a younger Charlotte. And so you're constantly being confronted with your younger self. They want you to look young, but not young. Age gracefully. And so she says that she's done fillers. It's been good. I've done fillers. It's been bad. And it's been so stressful because you trust these doctors. You want them to do a good job. And then when they don't, people blame you as if it's your fault.
Yeah. And I didn't blame her. The pressure of filling in that role. And of course, people are going to compare you to your younger character, which the first episode of Sex and the City debuted 25 years ago.
Wow.
I know, right? So she was that. If I were her, I would have been very upset with my doctor because she was unrecognizable.
Is that right? Was that bad?
The fillers were. I don't blame her at all, but It was the same thing that was with Courtney Cox, and she even admitted, and she got all of hers dissolved because she didn't even look like the same person.
I feel like this is an L.A. thing. You guys remember that old child's book, what was it called? Emperor's New Clothes, where everybody's telling the emperor he looks great even though he's naked. He's got no clothes on at all. In L.A., everybody is getting work done, and there's so much pressure to look a certain way, especially for women in the industry, that everybody looks a little Martian-like. So you're not really even sure if what you got done on your face looks good or not.
And listen, I'm a girl that, like, I get Xeomin and I go to Atlanta Face and Body and I get services because, I want to look younger and it makes me feel younger. And I think it's important to be open about it so people don't have these unrealistic expectations. But Dr. E knows, like, I don't want to look like a different person. I just want to look like a me 10 years ago.
Right.
But when that's the trend and everybody looks that way, Lauren Graham in the new Gilmore Girls that had come out, too, was another one where you looked at her and you were like, it's not that you aged. You don't look like yourself anymore. Yeah. And I can't even imagine the pressure, like you said, but like these, they're all under. And when you go to L.A. and you start seeing people in swanky bars, they all start to look the same. Like the Selling OC and Selling Sunset casts on Netflix from season 1 to now. I'm like, oh, y'all look fantastic, but there's definitely a trend.
Look, there was just a few months ago, they were giving Taylor Lautner crap. Remember? They said that he looked all old and he's 31 years old.
Give him a break. He doesn't look like he's 16. Police were called to Nicki Minaj's home over the weekend. I'm going to tell you why officers were furious about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, get me up to speed here because I was out on Friday. Cursed wedding dress?
Well, maybe. Not all of us thought it was cursed. Some of us, as Abby said, are superstitious and some of us are just a little stitious. So you have to decide what side you're going to be on. So Erin called us up. She's getting married. She and her fiance want to plan it in a month. They want to do something small. They want to do something quick, right?
How long had they known each other? Do you know?
I don't remember how long they've known each other.
Mm-mm.
She's coming back on in a sec, all that.
And so they're on a budget, and one of her friends offered up her wedding dress. And she's like, hey, they're about the same size. If you want to use my wedding dress, go ahead. Now, she had a lovely wedding. However, five years into the marriage just imploded, and it did not end well. And so another friend of Aaron's is like, you can't wear that dress. It's cursed because their marriage ended. And we're like, one, screw your friend for planting that seed in your head. And she had to decide whether or not she wanted to accept this very generous offer of a wedding dress that may or may not be cursed.
What did you guys say you would do?
So for me, I thought there are going to be so many bad memories attached to that dress. One, because your friend did plan it into your head. So I was thinking it might not be actual bad mojo, but you might be thinking about it so much that it manifests itself.
Cass, you're very practical, but how would you feel about this?
I'd feel fine about it. I think that the dress itself isn't bad mojo. It's what happened after. And for me, if I can save money and spend that somewhere else, I would do it.
I felt like the dress was just bad mojo if you allow it to be, if you believe that it is.
Why are you making that face?
I wouldn't want my fiance to use it.
Really?
Uh-huh. Superstition. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah, we didn't even factor in, like, if her fiance, like, what if the groom has a say.
Oh, yeah.
No, nope, not at all.
We're never even entered the chat.
Just one less thing he has to worry about on his wedding day. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
All right, so I wasn't here on Friday. These guys pretty much just got me up to speed, but is there anything that they might have missed?
No, I mean, I love the dress. I mean, if that makes a difference. It was a beautiful dress at my friend's wedding. I'm really trying to not be superstitious about it. So, but the biggest thing is it's going to save us so much money.
Yeah.
Like we're on a budget. We've been together about a year and a half and we've got a lot of things we want to do, you know, as far as like buying a home and other expenses like that. So it would be so helpful, if I decided to go with the dress. So,
and I think Cassie has a really good point also, you know, because there are a lot of people that believe there's always energy associated with everything, right? But on that particular wedding day that they had, the wedding dress has nothing but positivity surrounding it, right? It was the marriage went to crap afterwards, so why would the dress have anything to do with that? So I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, the dress is a symbol of love and the happiness and the hope that they had for each other.
Yeah.
If we're talking wedding rings, no way am I touching that. I will go without one rather than have one that was part of a bad marriage. But the dress itself isn't tainted because of the rest of the relationship.
And when you also factor in that they say the biggest stresses when you first get married are finances, that if now you have a chance to save that and relieve you from that stress, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And my fiance, when I talk to him about like maybe there's a curse on it or whatever, my fiance is like, you're crazy. It's not about the dress. The dress didn't do anything. It's about the people. And I get that. I totally get that. That's not us. And actually, you know, her wedding was a blast. Everybody had the best time. So I asked him, I said, maybe I could sage it or like, you know, take it to some kind of, I don't know, somebody who could put a good luck curse on it or whatever you do. And he said, that's nuts. He said, it's going to save a ton of money. Just wear it. Let's use that money for something else. You know, we're who we are. They're who they are. And, you know, it makes sense to me. It's a pretty dress and I'll be very happy in it. And knowing that money, is still in our bank will make me even happier. So yeah, I think I'm going to give it a go.
Oh, so it wasn't this weekend.
No, it's next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I think about it, it's kind of silly.
Just because her fiance is okay with it?
No, because as we were talking it out, the wedding day itself, the dress was fantastic.
You literally wear it for that one day.
Right. Don't you?
And they're so expensive, too.
Did you see the mom, daughters, and daughter-in-laws that went viral? They all went out to dinner wearing their wedding gowns.
I saw that.
No, I didn't.
It was so cute because they were. So, yeah, this mom and her daughters and her daughter-in-laws, they were like, why should these dresses only get worn once? So, like, they rented this big van. They all put their wedding gowns on, and they all went out for dinner and a night out on the town, all of them wearing their wedding gowns.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. I love this because I loved my wedding dress, the one that I wore for the ceremony, and it just, I look at it and it's like all archived in a box. And I'm like, what? You're just in a box and you were so expensive and I'm never going to get to wear you again. And I'm also the kind of person, I don't think I'm going to hand it down to my daughter because it's mine. You can get your own. If she asked for it, I would give it to her. But I also don't want her to feel pressure. I want to do that. I want to break it out again and wear it somewhere.
Oh, I would totally do that. However, I would not be able to fit into mine.
Is that right? Seriously?
Oh, my God. Really? No. Yes, I've gained 20 pounds since I've gotten married.
Same. But a little bit of Velcro and some safety pins. We can make it work.
Hey, Aaron, congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, see you now.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mo, so some friends of yours are going at it. Is this a new relationship that they're feeling a little insecure about? Because there are trinkets from past relationships?
No, this is actually, this is the girl I'm dating that I am now in hot water with because of a debate that took place when we were all at a dinner.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to get out of this hot water, and I don't think I can.
Is it one of those fun hypothetical debates that now has turned thetical? It's very thetical right now. No,
it was actually thetical from the beginning.
Okay.
and it all centers around items that you can or cannot keep if you start dating someone new.
And so what do you do with all the scrivenaires is what we've called them. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly that. So it all started when the girl that I'm dating, she came over one day and she found a book. And I have things in my apartment that I didn't transfer from one relationship to another. So there are small things around my apartment that I don't even know are there anymore. Like you would probably searching through some things and you may find, for an example, she found a scrapbook that my ex made for me. Mm. And I didn't necessarily keep it purposely. It was where it was in this little storage box that I have. And I didn't think anything of it.
Wait,
got so many questions.
Oh, hold on. It was in a storage box?
Yeah, I got a little storage box.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with that. Like in a closet or something? Or is it out?
It's in a closet, but yeah. I was renovating my closet because I was doing something with my sneakers.
Yeah.
So I had the storage box out and it was open and she was helping me move some things around.
Okay. All right. Now I see it. And it was on top.
Pretty much. Okay. It was right there. And I didn't think anything of it until the moment I saw her pick it up. I said, oh, okay.
You could immediately see the look change.
Because if your current is just going through your boxes, that is a red flag.
It wasn't that.
This situation makes it a little more
And it was completely innocent. I really forgot it was there. I didn't think anything of it. But like I said, as soon as I saw her pick it up, I was like, all right, that's going to be a situation.
Because scrapbooks are very personal.
Yeah.
If somebody makes you a scrapbook and they put the picture in, those memories, that is a very, that's an intimate gift.
Yeah, and that's how she felt, KK.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice scrapbook. I mean, she put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's really based upon my life, pretty much. From the relationships I've had with my family, to my accomplishments, to how I got from this point to that point. It's really well done.
How many pages did she look at the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh no.
Every page?
Every single one.
Oh, no.
I was like, no, you don't have to do that. You can put that down. You know?
not page 7.
Yeah, no.
Don't go to page 7.
It's one page in there where she put herself in it. And it's a picture of us. Everything else is either me and my family or just me.
But it's the fact that she put this intimate gift together for you.
Exactly.
That was getting under her skin a little bit.
Right. So I knew when she got to that page, because she just she was standing up reading it and going from page to page. And
what are you doing while this is happening?
Panicking.
Are you just standing there dumbfounded?
Yes.
Or are you still
I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to take it from her, but I just kept saying little things you don't have to keep going. Mm. I didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I'll throw it out now. You don't have to. And she's just ignoring me, just going through it. And then she just dropped it into the box. And I knew that was when she saw the picture. So I was like, all right. So then she was like, oh, no, it's fine.
Just
walks out.
No. Oh, no.
Damn.
I knew it wasn't fine. Right. So it comes up again when we go to dinner that night with a few of my other friends. And
brought it up.
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Maurice.
Well, because I knew the tension was obvious. Mm-hmm. And it was it was going in a direction anyway. And I was like, well, she's not really feeling me right now. And then she did say, you want to tell him why?
Okay. Oh.
So I told him why. And then we kind of started to debate this of well, does he have to throw that out? I mean, it's a symbolic of his life.
Yeah.
And what he's accomplished. It's not like it's a couple's scrapbook. And that's how it started into where her opinion is, yes, he has to throw it out. So then one of my other friends goes, well, does he have to throw everything out? Because I'm pretty sure she gave him a bracelet, too.
The fact it's the one he's got on right now.
Yes. I'm like, well, why would you do it? She's like, oh, so jewelry, too? So I'm like, okay, wait. I would have to throw out the scrapbook is one thing. I'll toss that. The jewelry, somebody has given you, that's a lot of money. So she's like, no, if you want to date me in full, everything has to go.
Whoa.
Now
whoa,
I'm stuck.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay.
I'll get rid of that scrapbook. I don't know about the bracelet. Right.
I'm going to go hard line here, okay? I'm already going to make your now girlfriend not like me, and I've never met her.
this is a pattern.
Yeah. I'm very brave on this mic. Absolutely not. In fact, even if there were scrapbooks with you and former girlfriends, yeah, those are your memories from your past. It has nothing to do with her. There is no threat to her whatsoever. You had those nice memories, and you know what? In a small way, all those past relationships got you to this relationship with her. Those are your memories, man. Under no circumstance should you throw those away or burn them.
Cosign.
Okay.
Okay, but what about the bracelet? Is there any, like, is her name on the bracelet?
No.
It's just
she
like decorative.
She would have never knew that, yeah, that she got me that bracelet if my homeboy didn't open his mouth.
Oh, yeah, then it's fine.
It's just a regular bracelet.
You should just pretend it's a different bracelet and then throw that one out, and then you're in the clear for the one you actually want to keep.
So I don't think I should have to throw anything out.
No. I'd have more of a problem you wearing like a hoodie that somebody else gave you than I would you having pictures in the house.
Okay. This is how I feel. I don't know how this is going to go when I tell her that y'all back me up, but I'm going to use it.
I mean,
I'm going to use it. I don't want to throw my stuff out.
Sorry about losing all your stuff, man.
It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
All right, so save it on Instagram. I've seen it now 24 times. At least 24 times. You guys sending me the story of the dude that spent like $100,000 to get leg extension surgery. So he could be like 7 inches taller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he's rich and he's tall. Okay, hello. Yeah.
But he went from 6 foot to 6'7".
Yeah, that's jacked up.
He's already 6 feet?
Yes.
What did you need this for?
It's 33-year-old Brian Sanchez. He's a mortgage broker in Georgia. He flew to Turkey and spent $100K to get leg lengthening surgery to add 7 inches. He was 6 foot before the surgery. Now, I just want you to listen to this. He's going to explain how they did this. And it's hard to stomach.
Now, for those of you that are new listeners, I'm 5'4" and I talk about it all the time, right? So I'm not offended that you guys were sending me this at all. I think you thought it was funny, which it is. And it made me think, like, if I was younger, I had that kind of cash. Maybe, man, but it certainly didn't start at 6 foot.
So it's been 2 surgeries. So the first surgery was back in December. They broke my tibia and fibula and hollowed out the inside of my tibia, taking out the bone marrow.
Wow.
They then put a rod inside the bone and fastened it with screws and attached the bone segments via pins to external fixators. So you have this piece of steel on the outside of your legs and have these constant open wounds that won't close until you remove all the hardware. He had to use an Allen wrench to turn the fixator bolt once a day for 2 months straight.
What?
He said not sleeping was the hardest part for him, though he did confess that he was not ready for how painful the procedure actually was. Then in March, he did the second surgery to elongate his femurs and felt great afterward. He goes, there was almost no pain throughout the entire process, only from lengthening from actually stretching my legs.
I mean, what's the point of it unless you want to, like, stand out from everybody else? Because at 6 foot, you're not getting made fun of because you're short.
No.
So I guess wanting to go to 6'7" means you really wanted to stand out, but that seems unnecessary to me.
He did say his body looked disproportionate. He described himself, if you've ever seen that movie Spy Kids, those thumb guys, he said he looked like a thumb.
Oh, because he's a bigger guy up top?
Yeah.
Just stop skipping leg day.
Legs didn't match.
There's got to be another way.
It has to be.
There's got to be another way. All right, Abby, you got some beef.
Yeah, I did something as a new ATL local that I guess you're not supposed to. And I knew this coming into Atlanta, but I just didn't realize I would get such a visceral reaction from people. So one of my really close friends from college, she recently got a job in Atlanta, and I was celebrating her on my Instagram story.
Oh, that's exciting to have a good friend move to the same city you're in.
I know. So I'm excited. It'll be like, we'll both be new. It'll be great. She's going to be a reporter at 11 Alive. So pumped for her. And so I kind of jokingly posted, can't wait for insert name here, to come to Hotlanta.
Oh, no, you didn't. Hotlanta.
I know, people get so upset, and I think it's funny. I say it ironically. Like, to me, it's camp. Like, it's sort of like Sarah Jessica Parker or Carrie Bradshaw wearing an I Heart New York shirt. You know what I mean? Like, it's very like, you know what I mean? You're mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's cringy, but it's kind of funny to lean into it. And so the DMs that I got were so vocal. I had people asking me to vacate the city.
What you going?
Do you know the history of the Burt Show in Hotlanta?
I don't.
Okay, and that's probably why they came for you in your DMs.
Yeah, we had a long-standing history here trying to squash it year after year.
What if I start a campaign to bring back Hotlanta?
I don't think it entirely went away. There were some that were really against it. Like, well, it is hot here, and I'm going to call it Hotlanta.
Well, there's nothing you can do or say. We ended up coming with some kind of agreement that if it reached over 100 degrees, if we got to like three digits, then you were allowed to call it Hotlanta. But anything below that, right. If the temperature was below that, you couldn't.
That's kind of the way that you know somebody's not from here.
Yeah.
If they say Hotlanta, then they're not from Atlanta.
So,
but look, when you tell somebody you're from Atlanta, the first thing they'll do to like break the ice is go, "Oh, Hotlanta, Hotlanta."
I feel like I never hear anybody ever say it.
Really?
Like, no, I never hear Hotlanta.
Then our work is done. And Abby's the only one that's messing it back up.
It's just me.
Just you.
I thought people were saying Hotlanta because the people were hot here. And so I thought it was like a compliment to the city, like, oh, Hotlanta, everybody here is like a 9 or a 10. Which maybe is just me trying to manifest more hot men in my life.
I think so. Yeah. What were some of the DMs?
They were asking me to vacate the city.
Okay.
Somebody asked me if I was hacked. I was like, no, I voluntarily said this. Somebody said that they had just unfollowed me after seeing it. And I was like, well, please come back. I need all the followers I can get. And so it was just kind of a lot of that, of people being so turned off that they just wanted me gone. Whether it was from their Instagram feeds.
Seems a little harsh.
Or their zip code.
Seems a little harsh. Yeah, Tom?
Have you guys ever looked up where it originated from?
No. Uh-uh.
I just found this out. And Kristen, you as a classic rock fan may like this. It goes back to 1971. It's an Allman Brothers Band song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that actual name of a song? It's called Hotlanta?
Yeah, it's on their Live at the Fillmore East album.
Nobody knows that.
I was just referencing music history.
Yeah.
Get cultured, guys.
Yeah. You're honoring our classic rock past.
I love our Allman Brothers.
All right, Mo. So Drastic, almost died. Sounds a little bit of an overreach. At a barbecue this weekend?
I don't think it is.
Serious?
I don't think it is. More Katie than me. Katie really genuinely was almost taken out of here for simply trying to come with me to a barbecue, in which I feel really bad about, because this would have all been my fault. So a good friend of mine who is having some tough times in life, and so he's in a new place, and he's trying to just get like people to come over, keep him company while he gets his place together. And so there I am. I call Katie to have her come over, and we're there having a barbecue. And I don't know exactly what transpired in the time where my back was turned, but I do know that at one point I turned around, I looked out the window, and I literally saw Katie dive from a huge flame of fire like you would in one of those Hollywood movies. I mean, it looked just like that. And then I ran out there to help and realized there's not much I could do with a fire. So I don't know how much help I was, but I don't know what this dude did to almost kill Katie, but it almost went down.
All right, so we're outside of his house and like in his backyard, and he has a nice little fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple of us just sitting around the fire pit, and the fire is fine. It's not like too high, too low, or anything like that. It's perfect. It doesn't need to be touched at all. And he comes over with some more wood. And so we're like, well, we need to move out the way. He's like, no. This is just a little bit. It'll be perfectly fine. Don't move. Stay where you are. We're like, okay. He throws in like three logs, and as soon as he does, the flame is like huge, and like I see it happening, and it's like slow-mo of no, trying to hurry up and get away from the fire, because if we didn't move, we would have burned. Like how close it was, he would have burned us. And so now I'm looking at Mo like, what's up with your friend?
He don't know a damn thing about fire pits, wood, outdoors, none of that either.
Did he soak him in accelerator? Like why would a fire do that if he just threw a couple pieces of wood on there?
I don't know. That's what I was confused by, because at first I didn't think you would need to move. And you see, if I could have just filmed this, it was huge flames. Like it just engulfed everything. And if we didn't move, we were inches from like being burned.
He was soaking it in lighter fuel for like the last 48 hours.
I think he was. And then when it happened, he's still sitting there, still pouring things on it. I'm like, people have almost died. Dude, let it go.
Everybody thinks they can barbecue.
Yeah.
How hard can it be, right?
Yeah, obviously harder than we think.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.